Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, feminist.
Represent the femmes and the fam.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just trying. Trying to be alive here.
Get out.
Pansexual hoe living in New York City.
And me, Rodeca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. There's
pansexual.
Pansexual.
Do you have sex with pens? Yeah, I can make a bad joke during your intro, too.
And me, Rob, one agender pansexual feminist with a fatty they, them pronouns.
You did that good.
All right.
And it's Akua. One hoe who still doesn't have an identity for 2019.
That's
pronouns
okay.
She and her.
Nice.
It's just me, y'all. Stop fucking that up.
Yes, on this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my lovely rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all the hosts come together, like this one, to chat about the sexual current events in the world, our lives, yours, and sometimes interesting topics that we find relevant. Yes, this happens to be a group episode, and we're talking about love.
Never knew what I was missing, but I knew once we start kissing, I found
you. Shout out to Keisha Cole.
Please don't sue us. We did it so perfect.
Yeah, but before we get into that, it's just gonna be us singing for the rest of the next
hour. Special musical episode of the Inner Hole Uprising.
This is not what I fucking signed up for, y'all.
Yeah, before we get into that, we have a couple of short segments. They are
Bae of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive. But this month, we're doing historical Bays of the Week because it is Black Hoe Story Month.
And I'm blackity black and I'm black, y'all.
I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. This really is becoming a musical show.
What it is.
This is the second time.
There's too many songs that just relate to everything that niggas say. Hoe of the Week, where we shout out you guys, the homies, listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give y'all some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And pay a hoe.
Where we beg for the money that we desperately, desperately need to do stuff like what? Throw parties for free.
Headphones.
Yeah, you're right.
Sam is the only one with headphones.
Yeah.
If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hole Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, Black Hoe Story Month, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And now on to historical Bay of the Week. It's the roaring 20s coming up pretty soon. 2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What do you see? What do you know?
Please stop. Yeah. My God. Rip Samsby.
Like, what voice was that?
That's the 1920s voice.
The white man 1920s voice. Yeah. We didn't sound like that in the 20s.
I don't know what we sounded like in the 20s because our history has been erased.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, see? Very, very erased.
You saw the frog from
da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Who's up first?
So my Bae of the Week is Zora Neale Hurston. She is the author, most notably, of Their Eyes Were Watching God, that, you know, most people know it as the movie with Halle Berry and
there's that light skinned nigga.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Ealy. So she was pretty, I wouldn't say radical, but apparently, like, during the time that she was alive, she really wanted to stick to her Southern roots and kind of stayed true to, like, the draw when everybody was trying to, in the Harlem Renaissance, like, black people were really trying to assimilate themselves or kind of like expand their vocabulary, and she was just always sticking to herself, and I kind of felt like that was kind of cool for her time to just stick to who she was. But what really interested me was she wrote a book called Tell My Horse, Voodoo and Life in Haiti and Jamaica in 1938, and it was documenting her research on rituals in Jamaica and Haiti. I'm Haitian, and I'm constantly getting this question and this common misconception about being Haitian, and the first thing people ask me, if it's not like the first thing, it's always the second thing, like, do you practice voodoo? And most of the time people always have this like stereotype where it's like, do I practice rituals like eat pig's blood or cut chicken's heads off or have dolls? And I get this all the time, like, as recently as like last week. So when I read that somebody back then was really interested in like learning about my culture, and also a lot of the times I get it from Jamaicans. So like when I read that, I immediately was like, wow, this is like someone who personally resonated with me and was interested in something that's my culture, and I want to read like all of her books now. So yeah, that's my day of the week.
Just a little tidbit on Zora. So Their Eyes Was Watching God was written almost exclusively in like African-American vernacular, like Southern accent, which at first when I was reading it, I was like, oh shit. It took me a couple times to read it to understand like the grasp of the vocabulary. If you're not from the South, it's really, you have to say it out loud to understand it sometimes. And the other one with that book that she wrote, she actually like traveled like back and forth for years to gather all that information, like live there, practice. And I don't know, that shit was tight. Dope, especially at that time.
I want to read the book. That's mad interesting. Yeah.
So to tie in to Rodeca's historical bae, my historical bae is Alice Walker. Alice Walker is an activist, poet, novelist, and a short story writer, best known for The Color Purple. But that's like not the least, of course. That's pretty monumental in itself because, you know, that tackled racism and patriarchy all in one book and blew the fuck up. But my favorite thing that she's done was In Search of Our Mother's Gardens, which I'm finishing. It is like a collection of essays. And one of my favorite essays was she actually traveled to Zora Neale Hurston's grave. It was an unmarked grave. And she wrote an article with a Zora Neale Hurston scholar just documenting how she found the grave and how she had to talk to people and like lie to people like, oh, I'm her long lost niece. And basically just documenting like what kind of person Zora was and what kind of person her town saw her as, and how she was remembered versus the monumental impact that she had on African-American literature. And it revived the Zora Neale Hurston stir. So then more people began to remember that, oh God, this is like a crazy monumental writer, because when she died, she wasn't quite recognized for her work. She died like on some Van Gogh shit, like blew up well after she died, unfortunately, which is how it happens because people do not realize the talent of black people until they die. So also she coined the term womanist. So that's for her definition was a black feminist or a feminist of color. Also, alternatively, women who love other women sexually and non-sexually. She wrote like a whole page long definition of what a womanist is. And In Search for Our Mother's Garden, she said, womanism is to feminism what purple is to lavender. When I heard of intersectional feminism, Sam introduced me to intersectional feminism. Sorry, I got both my tongue rings in for the first time in a while. I got the lisp of life right now. But outside of what Sam taught me, I found out about intersectional feminism through Alice Walker and womanism. And basically, if you for some reason don't know what intersectional feminism is, because clearly people don't know.
Yeah.
Even if they understand what it is, they don't know that there's a term for it. And intersectional feminism is the intersection between race, class, and gender oppression. But now it even goes further than that to include, you know, sexuality and gender expression. But yeah, so she was born in Eatonton, Georgia, to two sharecroppers. She went to Spelman on a full scholarship. She was super duper talented and super smart. Georgia paid for it. But she ended up graduating from Sarah Lawrence College in New York. And she did other activism things, such as publicly condemning Israel as an apartheid regime. She traveled to Gaza in response to the Gaza war in order to give aid to the NGOs and residents and to try to persuade Israel and Egypt to open up their borders to Gaza. And she also asked Alicia Keys to cancel a concert in Tel Aviv, saying that she was supporting a apartheid regime and the oppression that is going on, and Alicia Keys rejected the plea.
Damn.
And I'm like, damn. Not that I had a lot of hope in Alicia Keys anyway, but you know.
would have been cool if Alice Walker succeeded in that. So all in all, she's definitely one of my favorite writers. Very persuasive. Definitely loved Zora Neale Hurston. And you should definitely, if you want to learn more about feminism from an intersectional lens, that would be a good and, let's say, kind of easy place to start. Her writings aren't too complex. And then there's a lot of references that you could go and read on your own.
That's dope. That's so sweet that they have like this generational connection through time. So my Bae of the Week is Gladys Bentley. And at first I wasn't going to do a Bae of the Week because I was thinking, oh, Ida B. Wells. But I say that every fucking year and I thought that it would be annoying, especially Ida Bae Wells. But I have like the Apple News thing on my phone and it pops up with things. And I just saw like gender nonconforming person from Harlem that was forgotten. I was just like, who the fuck is this? So like an hour ago, I read into it and she was really fucking dope. So she was gender nonconforming, but I'm going to continue to use the pronouns she and her because those are the pronouns that she used to address herself throughout her life. So you can find this in the New York Times Overlooked Obituary series, which I implore you to look into because it looks really cool and they have like really cool graphics along with their stuff. But so this person was born in 1907 and she was a gender nonconforming blues singer who was based in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance / Prohibition era. So when she would perform, she would get out on stage in like a top hat and a tuxedo and a cane, kind of like what the niggas was dressing like in the time. And when she was singing, she would have like masculine energy. She sang like gender bent, like gender switch versions of popular songs. And then she also did like versions of those songs, and I couldn't find those, but I just imagine like the fact that we put ho puns on everything. Yeah. I just imagine her doing shit like that, like in the fucking 20s. And then like as she was performing, she would like go up to women and like flirt with them or whatever and like put the microphone in their face and have them sing like the nasty version of the songs and stuff like that.
Watch yourself. Yo.
And they're fucking twerking. Yeah, that must have been really cute. Yeah. So by the 1930s, this article says that she had become the most famous lesbian figure in Harlem, which is a particularly big deal because during the Harlem Renaissance, I guess a lot of artists who were prominent also happened to be genderqueer and sexuality queer. So the fact that she was the biggest is a really big deal. The article that I read made the point that she comes from like a legacy of sexually queer woman singer. So there was like Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith who one had relationships with women, but they also like kind of like inserted that type of stuff into their songs. But Gladys was the first person who actually was visible, who was actually adding this gender non-conforming element to her performances. A couple other cool things about her: her mom was like Trinidadian and she also may have been born in Trinidad, so I thought that that was cool. After performing for so long, she actually got very fucking rich and was living on Park Avenue and was driving like luxury cars and shit. Nice. Like this,
very rare. Yeah,
exactly,
that mobility, y'all.
Yeah, she had the OD upward mobility, and she started off performing in this thing called Buffet Flats. I don't know if you guys remember that. You weren't here, you were in Kuwait, but we did like a series of videos that has yet to be released, but one of the episodes that we did was on Buffet Flats, where these really cool things in Harlem during the Renaissance that were like vice locations. So people would like come and drink, they would gamble, they would have sex, there was like sex work going on.
Like,
and there
Harlem,
was also
Harlem night shit.
Huh?
Like Harlem night shit.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
I never saw
like
that movie.
They own like a club.
Yeah.
And then they would just wild out for a
Yeah,
spot.
And it was like a sus club because it wasn't supposed to be there. It was like, yeah, in people's apartment. But yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
Nice.
So it was really dope. So that's where she got her start. And I really hope I get time to edit that series, or maybe we can work on it. Mm. Because it was
needs to happen.
But yeah, so more on that later. But towards the end of her career, or I guess towards the middle, she tried to transition over because that's when records were becoming popular. But like the stuff that she was recording wasn't getting any play. And then also this is during the time that the Red Scare started to happen, like McCarthyism and shit like that, where queer people were just automatically thought to be communists because everyone who wasn't like a white cishet man was thought to be a
communist. Yep.
Yeah. So that made people like her want to go underground and not be so upfront about like their gender nonconformingness or about the fact that they might be gay or something like that. So she completely 180'd. She started taking hormone treatments to, I wrote down, not be gay no more, but like that's what she was doing. And she eventually went on to marry two guys, or started to claim to marry two guys. I know one of the guys said we had never gotten married. So it just seems like she was trying to assimilate into like cishetness. And then in 1960, she died of the flu. Because that was back in the day when, like...
Niggas still die from
young
the flu.
Niggas, but niggas do still die from the flu, but that was back in the day when, like, healthy, not very old, not very young niggas died from the flu. But to close it out, I thought this was, like, a nice quote from Langston Hughes about her, another queer Black person during the Harlem Renaissance. He said, "She was an amazing exhibition of musical energy, a large, dark, masculine lady whose feet pounded the floor while her fingers pounded the keyboard, a perfect piece of African sculpture animated by her own rhythm." That's Gladys Bentley. Yeah. It's almost like that guy wrote poetry or something like that.
Right? Who would have thought?
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to Ho of the Week.
So our Hoes of the Week this week are first and foremost all the people that attended and Ho Uprising Winter is Coming.
That shit was a hell of a turnout, man.
Yeah, it was really like
there's so many videos of me wilding. I had a wig on, then at one point I didn't have a wig on no more.
Yo, they came back out and I was like, wait a minute, was this a fucking wardrobe change?
It was very fast in a corner. Sam helped me out and
seamless.
And none of the fans saw. They just were like, oh, and then we just continued to fucking party, man. This shit was dope, man.
Shout out to Abner as well, because
oh my gosh, yes, and DJ, Fifi, and Fifi.
Yeah, for sure.
Very sexually attracted to both of those people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've always loved a good DJ, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, Samantha has. Samantha.
Especially mid swag surf.
Yeah, that was so cute. Yeah. Abner got out and swag surfed with us. He got out from behind his computer or whatever.
And literally swag
surfed. Yep.
I think that was the turning point in my relationship with Abner.
There you go.
Ooh, chill. But yes, shout out to our DJs. Shout out to everyone that RSVP'd. Shout out to everyone that showed up. Y'all
donated.
Showed up. Next up is Lay Ashley, who bought merch.
Yes, but yay, it was out of stock, so I had to refund her.
Thanks for trying.
Medium
for
large
the
crop
intention.
Tops are not available on the website anymore, guys. But thank you, Lay Ashley, for putting in your order.
And then we have Fabian T, Rosemary R, Molly J, Nadia C, Lucy W, David M, Gilmarie B, Kathia M, Cindy D, and Elise L, who I think is Allie Lou, who all paid a hoe.
Yes.
And most of them, or maybe all of them, became patrons.
Wow. Thank you, people.
So thank
you. We
y'all.
Love you. Next is self-care tip of the week.
My self-care tip of the week is inspired by February, which tends to revolve around the themes of love and romantic relationships because of one day.
You're talking about Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Just to clarify.
And I'm just here to say, cut the shit. If you somehow are single on Valentine's Day, which I realize I'm always single on Valentine's Day. Like, nigga, I will have a nigga and then just somehow in February, don't got no nigga no
just
more.
End it.
Or you like me with a nigga, but you don't really got a nigga. Yo. A nigga ghost on Valentine's
Day. Oh. I haven't celebrated Valentine's Day in like 4 years, but I was just in a relationship and I'm like, oh, what the fuck is
niggas,
going
niggas
on?
Skip.
Niggas always get into a fight right around that
real
time.
Quick.
Real quick. Yeah. Then come right
yo,
back.
Just kidding.
Yeah, so if you find yourself single like us on Valentine's Day, one, don't let that get you down, because a romantic relationship is only one part of your whole life and of your interpersonal areas of life. And my self-care tip of the week is to strengthen my non-romantic relationships rather than focusing on the fact that I don't have a romantic relationship, i.e. date your friends. Take them niggas out. Let them take you out. And really... Or even take your mama out. Like,
yeah, true.
All these other relationships that you have, you know, put as much emphasis on them as you would a romantic relationship.
I really want to go to, like, a anti-Valentine's Day thing, though, if someone's throwing
it. Oh, there's
that
thing that I put in the group chat that you never checked.
Good God.
You're right. Definitely didn't
drag
do that.
I know you actually did respond to that. You said I would be down.
Thank you.
And then you're going to fucking go with somebody else and be like, oh, I didn't know you wanted to go, Sam.
You know what? We'll address this at another time, sir. Thank you.
Argue on air.
Get out of here.
I like it. Actually,
they want to hear it.
I want to hear it.
Everybody was there.
Senator's going on Friday, okay? Damn it, we're going.
All right.
So my self-care tip of the week is giving up sugar because slavery.
for the month of February. Only for February, bro. So get that thumb out of here. Well, maybe not only, but at least to for the premise of just for February. So this like just kind of like dawned on me. I was talking to a white coworker, but
I was like, why? And then you said coworker.
I was like, okay. I had no choice. But she's cool. She asked me one day, how does it feel to be a gender non-conforming queer person in the army while in Kuwait? And I was like, that's a pretty
loaded fucking question.
Like, I wasn't expecting her to ask that, but she said that she wanted to give up sugar because she didn't want to like feed like corporations. She's like, all these corporations that manufacture sugar and stuff, they're like not necessarily the environment, but like the impact socially and shit. She's like, it's not like they put sugar in good things, it's always bad things, and like food deserts and blah blah blah, whole social aspect of sugar, of refined sugar specifically. If you don't know the difference, you have like natural occurring sugars that occur like in fruits and honey and things like that, and then you have refined sugar, which comes from sugar cane, which is literally refined in a mill, and then the brown stuff, the white stuff, it's the same fucking stuff. So the reference to slavery, if you didn't know, because I wouldn't be surprised if you did it, because as Sam said, our history has been erased. Sugar was the main crop from the 18th to the 20th century in the Caribbean. If you did not know how long a century is, it's 100 fucking years. So this
Rob is breaking it all the way down.
Break it all down. Only because you have to understand the gravity of it. Like, you just say that, it's like, no, like, this is literally like 300 plus years, right? And of course, they asked the main crop, cool, congratulations, but sugar did not come from the Caribbean. It was from Southeast Asia, but Christopher Columbus, the old ancient colonizing ass nigga, he brought it to Hispaniola, modern day DR, Haiti, and it grew there very well. So, like, you know, I don't know if you niggas knew this shit, but Europeans love them niggas some sugar. They, oh my God, this shit, they called that shit white gold. They were losing their fucking minds importing sugar into Europe. If you don't know, sugarcane takes a lot of manual labor to, like, cut it and refine it. And they were like, whoa, how are we gonna, you know, manage all this labor? I don't know. Let's just like fucking steal
not us.
People. I don't know. I said, not us. Let's literally traffic some fucking humans from Western Africa.
Millions.
Some. Millions. Not millions. Some. All right. So you can understand the gravity of that. No, millions of Africans, of course, were traffic to the Caribbean, also, of course, to America, South America, North America. And the main thing that they did was grow, cut, refine sugar. So for Black History Month, I just wanted to at least attempt to give up refined sugar. So it's going to be really difficult. But I mean, I just figured, like, one of my worst fears is, like, reincarnation. I get reincarnated as a slave. That is something I think about a lot.
When you said reincarnated as, I thought you were going to say as sugar.
And I that's why I was like, yo.
Yo. Imagine you're just one grain, my nigga. You're not even a whole, like, cane.
What a minuscule existence, bro. No, that's what I thought. Nah, me too. I was like, yo.
This nigga made me a molecule. I'm talking about a whole cube. This nigga made me a fucking molecule.
One of my worst fears is to be reincarnated as a grain of sugar. Like, okay, thanks.
That is so funny.
What a way to end it. A grain of sugar. All right, if you want to contribute to the show monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhoeupraising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly. Pay a Hoe Once takes you to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/innerhoe, where you can give any donation that you want at any amount of time that you want, any amount of donation that you want at any time that you want. You can also go to Pay a Hoe Monthly, which takes you to our Patreon. And our Patreon is a way that you can support a hoe on a monthly basis. So by subscribing to us on Patreon, you also sometimes receive perks while you're doing supporting it. It's an easy way to throw dollars monthly towards the show because, you know, we got shit to pay for, as we said earlier at the top. So if you're able and you'd be so kind, you can go to patreon.com/innerhoeuprising and donate $2, which will give you early access to ticketed IHU events or like behind the scenes access or like VIP hours and stuff like that, like we did for Rob's coming home party. And for the price of $5 a month, you can get that as well as content of your choice. So right now up on Patreon, we have a poll where we're asking our $5 and up patrons what kind of content that they're looking for. So please, if you're a patron who is $5 and up, go and vote in that poll so we can deliver you the goods. You can donate any less or any more. So anything from $1 a month to whatever you have per month, anything is appreciated. It's just a consistent way to pay a hoe. Other ways that you can help support us are by going to Apple Podcasts and writing a review. You can tweet about us. I know this is Black History Month, so a lot of people are probably going to be doing like Black Podcast roundups. We are a Black podcast who does talk about history every single fucking February for the past 4 years now. You can also write a, you can write us on your blog. You write about us on your blog. You can link to us in your group chat. You can tell your coworker what you're listening to, or you can walk down the street in an Inner Hole Uprising shirt and you can buy some of our merchandise like shirts, crop tops, condoms, stickers, and buttons at innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. It's 5 a.m. and I'm up recording an ad for you, you. I'm not horny, but I'm on a hot mic over here to tell you, you. Come for, let's talk about sex, baby, at an event for you and me. Let's talk about trivia in a pub, hanging with the podcast that we love. Let's talk about your team on top, cause the other team is going down. Let's talk about sex trivia, baby. You can bring a Valentine. Wow. Yes, I sang for you. This is a very, very important moment in this podcast history. I sang for you for 40 seconds. And I did that to tell all of New York City to listen the fuck up. Because this Sunday, February 10th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., if you're a freaking nerd, if you like to have sex, if you like to learn about sex, if you like to win free shit, if you like to drink, and most importantly, if you like to hang with the hoes, February 10th in New York City, Inner Hoe Uprising is hosting Sex Trivia Sundays at Love Story. That is a bar bordering Bushwick in Brooklyn and Ridgewood in Queens. It's going to be free. It's going to be fun. It's going to be this Sunday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you would like to attend and compete, you can link to register using the link in the description of this episode. And if you're a voyeur like myself, you can just come to spectate. We'll see you this Sunday. Now on to the next segment. And if you liked my singing, at me on Instagram and tell me that you loved it. And if you hated it, at me also. Okay, bye. All right, so we're going to our next segment, which is called
Fuck It.
And today's topic of the day is
love languages. Ooh.
So we will start this month off, and we're doing Black Love all of February to combine Love and Black History Month.
Yes.
We'll be focusing on Black Love.
My favorite kind of love, because I don't got love for these non-niggas, if you feel me.
All right, so what are love languages? The five love languages is a theory created by Dr. Gary Chapman, a white man.
We do have to say that already.
It's true.
Yes. Through his observations from his pastoral counseling practice, so he wrote his findings in a book that was first published in 1992, which has since sold over 11 million copies and has been translated into 49 different languages. He didn't just stop there. He did 3 editions of the book saying the same shit.
That's some capitalist
shit. No, let's talk about it. He did 3 editions of the book saying the same shit and then went on a motherfucking franchise with love languages for children, love languages for teenagers.
He sounds like a professor.
Love
buy my textbook.
Love languages for the military, love languages
for the military. We don't love. Conquer.
Love languages in the workplace. I don't give a fuck how my coworkers receive love.
Capitalism love.
There's an argument that could be made there, though.
I'm sure he made it in his book, Samantha. I'm sure.
I kind of see that, though. Like, treat you how you want to be treated in different spaces. That's valid.
And then how to give love languages for how to give and receive apologies, which...
That just seems necessary.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
That one, I was like, all right, you got it. Because people don't know how to apologize. And people don't know how to take apologies. In his book, Chapman claimed that relationship satisfaction is strengthened when both partners speak the same love language. And relationship satisfaction is challenged when the partner's primary love languages differ. And he basically suggested that if a person could determine their partner's primary love language, their relationship satisfaction will be greater.
Okay.
So what are these love languages? There are five. The first being acts of service. And acts of service is a love language where you do things to ease the burden of responsibility for a person. So washing my dishes, you know, taking my car to get some gas, paying a bill. Again, paying a bill. A bitch is broke. All says I love you to a person who that's their primary love language. And things such as laziness, broken commitment, so saying you're gonna do something and not doing it and making more work for somebody else, like when I say stupid shit Samantha has to edit all around it, are all ways to turn off a person whose love language is acts of service. The next is words of affirmation, where the person loves or feels loved, hearing encouraging words, deep-felt compliments, and professions of love. Insults can lead to grudges. The next is quality time, where a person feels most loved by having uninterrupted, undivided attention from their partner. And then things like distraction, postponing activities, and failure to listen will be kind of their turnoffs or ways that make them feel unloved. Next is, or the fourth is, receiving gifts. And it's not just about the gift, but the thoughtfulness and the effort in getting the gift. So in passing, when you heard I wanted these shoes that I saw on Jamaica Avenue, you went back before Christmas and got them. That effort in getting the gift is what makes that person feel loved. Gifts are a symbol of heartfelt emotion for that person. And then missing holidays such as like Valentine's Day or Christmas, or thoughtless gifts like it's our anniversary, you got me a bottle of water, conveys lack of emotion and care. And the last one is physical touch, where the person feels most loved by intimate touch such as hugs, pats on the back, and this conveys love and safety for them. There was a note about neglect and abuse being detrimental for a person whose primary language is this, but neglect and abuse is detrimental for everyone.
Yeah.
So
that's not yeah, all right.
That's not much, but
that's funny.
But for a person whose love language is physical touch, physical presence, and accessibility to their partner, and like physical spaces and physical senses is crucial.
So remember back that I said that this book has sold over 11 million copies and has been translated into 49 different languages. You would think that this is something that has some evidence behind it.
Oh, no. Well, I had my qualms with it, honestly. I wrote down some notes.
So what the main issue is that there is no empirical evidence supporting Dr. Chapman's theories.
What does empirical mean? Google says real, verifiable, and factual.
Yes. Verifiable, so, yes.
Yeah. Qualitative and quantitative.
But verifiable, so that multiple people are reporting the same thing, or it can be, the results can be replicated multiple times by multiple different groups of people and be generalizable.
That's the issue that I have with this.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll talk about that. So there isn't much empirical evidence supporting this. There has not been a lot of studies on it. So there are two published studies and then two unpublished dissertations. I didn't look for them damn dissertations because they're hard to find. But in those two published studies, the first one basically said that, and I'll give Samantha the reference so she can link it, and all you nerds can go read it for yourself. I am an academic hoe, so. The first study basically said that the quiz had construct validity, which means that it measures what it says it's measuring. So it's measuring, that's what construct validity is. It's when you're measuring something, when you can, it can be proved that what the quiz is supposed to do does what it's supposed to do. The second one was actually testing Chapman's claims that couples who have aligned or the same love language will be able to effectively express and receive love and demonstrate high levels of relationship satisfaction. So if my love language is acts of service and Rosetta's love language is acts of service, if we are in a relationship, we will be able to receive and give each other love in ways that we can acknowledge and be happy as fuck.
I'm really happy for you guys. This is my favorite relationship of pants. And Akua is the pan that Rodeca always needed.
And Chapman's second claims that couples whose love language do not align, hence me and Samantha, changing our behavior to speak to our partner's love language will then also improve relationship satisfaction. What the study found that ain't true.
Yeah, that seemed a little funky.
The study basically said that couples who had the same love language or even had knowledge of what their love partner's love language were did not report relationship satisfaction.
The nigga was still cheating.
Yep.
That's what they
No, but what it did show was that self-regulatory behavior, so changing your behaviors in your relationship, improved relationship satisfaction, but only when this is for science, females or the femme identifying people in the relationship changed their behaviors did both partners report relationship satisfaction. But when men changed their behaviors, niggas was still upset because niggas changed their behaviors for like 2 weeks. No.
Yeah, wait, what is the reasoning?
So there is another study that
I don't even get how it fits into. I just don't get it.
What?
I don't get it at all.
Okay. Where did I lose you?
How is that? Why are they like that? Are they actually not changing their behaviors the whole time?
Why are men?
Yeah. Why does that lead to dissatisfaction when the men change their behaviors?
It doesn't lead to dissatisfaction, but it doesn't change the reported satisfaction.
Why not?
Patriarchy, people. What the fuck?
How is that patriarchy if the man is changing his behavior to compliment the woman in the relationship?
I say that because
who is dissatisfied?
Probably the
we can't say that's why I want, that's why I'm asking. What is it?
That's a whole nother study that I did not quote on this.
Okay, so it just makes no sense to me.
The fucking study.
Huh?
It's probably just because I love studies. It was probably a quantitative thing. So they just asked late. No, seriously.
It's just
more
the,
likely than
nothing, it's just the way that you framed
asked.
It.
No, I'm saying because I agree of the fact with that you can't, like, you can't make it a numerative thing. So maybe just the women in that particular study, because it was one, they were just like, nah, like, I just think he's doing it because of this, that, and then.
That's fine. But, you know, usually at the end of even a quantitative study, they still have like a wrap up, like, well, we think it's because this.
Oh, okay.
That's just what I was looking for.
Founding factors.
Yeah.
So for this study that was, and this is Button Hazelwood, for this study, they had linked to the fact that the study on relationship satisfaction and self-regulatory behaviors had already been proven in another study. So I didn't want to like deep dive into that because then it would just start to wormhole. Mm-hmm. But for those who have questions, just like Samantha, I will also link that study as well.
Study. Read that long ass study.
Or just go to the end where
summary.
It says discussion.
Yeah.
Boom. Abstract. Right. Boom. Quick ways. So basically that study said that Chapman ain't had no claims. We're talking about it anyway because one, academic or scientific studies does not dictate what is reality. There is so much that science is biased. There's so much that they have yet to study, and we can't say it's not real because we have lived experiences. Like science says that my cycle does not sync up with Samantha's every month after I've known her for 7 years. But guess who knows when their period is coming when Samantha has theirs?
Science also says confirmation bias, though. So,
huh?
I said science also says confirmation bias. So
but also
when we are synced up, we're like, oh, it's happening, and we're not. We're just like,
hormones time is a construct. When people with vaginas are together,
that's what I've heard. But because Akua said that just now, I was assuming it was.
Yeah, but there's also been studies to verify the actual validity of like us or women having their cycle synced, and they say it's not real. And I was just like, y'all liars.
Yeah, I guess that's some studies because that shit was lit. Well, in basic training, we all got a period at the same exact
time. Lived experiences.
But what about when you didn't?
We just didn't get our periods. Like, I don't understand.
Some weird going on in the military.
Oh, well, you know, you're,
my devil's advocate to that is like when we don't get our periods at the exact same time, we're just tossing it out. And when we do, we're like, oh, okay. It it's confirming our bias.
It is confirmation bias.
It could be. I don't know.
But yeah.
It could be either or.
I just have not had that happen. Like, my period has always synced up with y'all.
No, I'm not.
And the times that it doesn't, your brain is throwing it out.
But it, no, it has, because
said no.
No, because
it has a well cognitive dissonance with this too.
Because when my period doesn't come, when I go in the group chat, I'm like, which one of you hoes is taking plan B's and not doing the things you need to do?
But we don't do that every single month though.
You don't do that every single month. I'll be
I'm
good.
In the group chats with you. You every group chat that you're
I'm
in,
good. I'm okay, nonetheless, a confirmation bias.
Science, yeah.
Yes, nonetheless, you know, science does not dictate our reality. And, you know, for 27 years, people have bought this book and have, you know, tried to fix their marriages and their relationships, even helping professionals. And this is why I had jumped to it, because, you know, in social workers, marriage and family therapists, all these licensed certified people will be like, love languages, love, to the point where I thought it was a valid thing. And then reading that it had no empirical evidence, I was like, oh, niggas don't care.
Niggas don't care.
Which is interesting. And I think it just kind of like confirms what Sam says, because now, isn't it now a thing that actually matters because of the fact that so many people are doing it and it's been so many years now? It's just like, fuck it. It's real.
Because
it's a confirmation bias.
Wow. I love science.
Social phenomenon at this point.
Are we talking about the languages? Are we supposed to be breaking down this
fucking
theory?
All of it.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
In fact, destroy the fucking theory. I love it.
In theory, isn't everything a construct?
Yes.
Love is a construct. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend.
All right, so now we're going to transfer into our next segment.
Fuck me.
And now we're doing a special love languages version of it. Akua, take it away.
Yeah, so we all took the quiz. And this actually sparked... I made you guys take the quiz, right?
Yes.
This sparked
yes, exactly. I was going to say on several occasions.
This sparked last year because I knew what my love languages were, and there were hiccups in a lot of my relationships, and it made me start to think that, well, I noticed a trend that I was loving people from my love language, mm-hmm. and in some relationships we were just dissatisfied, and I wanted to change that. I wanted to start loving friends and romantic partners in the languages that they received. So then I started making everybody take this damn quiz. Because I ain't shit. So I guess we can go through our results. We've all taken it twice?
Yes.
All right. Rob's, has yours changed?
No.
And just a bit of note, when you... Chapman's theory says that, of course, everyone is going to... use these different languages to some degree, because we all like giving gifts. We all physically touch our partners. We all, you know, feel that quality time is essential for a relationship. But everyone has a primary and a secondary love language. The primary being the most preferred way to receive or give love. And the second is whatever scored the second or the closest.
So my primary love language is quality time. And ironically, my second dairy is physical touch.
Don't you say ironically?
Because I don't like being touched.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't like being touched by people I don't love. I mean, I'm lying. Even people that I do love,
yeah,
I don't
like.
But I like to choose who I touch.
Yes.
And then I like that touch to be reciprocated back. It's very odd to want to hug somebody and they're like, eh. Which I'm like, damn, that's me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it'd be like that sometimes.
It's true.
But quality time was my number one. Actually, for receiving gifts, I didn't have any. And I thought that
this nigga don't like gifts.
No.
0%.
I think I really like when I'm thinking about this is another like confirmation like bias mm-hmm. thing. Like I've never been in a situation where I've ever received gifts.
Mm.
So I'm like, how could I say I like it or I don't like it if it's never happened to me? Mm. Like, I mean, I've gotten like, I mean, let me not say that. I definitely have received gifts, but not over an extended period of time. It's like one person gave me a thing mm. at one point in time.
whether or not we were in a relationship, and then that was it. It wasn't a continuous thing. So, and it was cool, but it wasn't something I could say, I really like this or I don't like this. Mm-hmm. So I think this love languages is like also based on just general experience. If you've never been in, if you've never been in a relationship of even like romantic, very close platonic, I don't know how you could really answer this truthfully.
Well, Chapman claims that love languages can start to develop as children. So how we interacted with our parents. So with that theory, someone who always got gifts from their parents may then start to feel that getting gifts is a way to express love.
All right, you're gonna hear Rodet go off mic. It's because Wig Crucifix Studios had another fucking malfunction, guys. Please pay us more money.
Thank you, Rob. I will get back to you. Roro, what is yours? Did yours change?
So I actually took this test in 2016 because I saw my email from 2016. I know. I was doing it before it was cool. Even though it's been out since 99. Exactly.
Were you born?
Yes.
No, not born.
1989.
Rodecca actually counseled Chapman on this publication.
Regardless, I took it in 2006, and like, it's funny because when I did
change
take
the
it,
date.
I said 2006, 2016.
Were you alive then?
It was like a very.
I took this in 1996. I took this in 1906.
I've been taking this test. I take this test every day to see if it changes. That's the truth. No, I'm just kidding.
I was asleep.
When I was a grain of sugar. Yes. I took this test when I was a grain of sugar. And guess what?
Yo, you did that shit to yourself, bro.
Nah, man, I'm laughing. It's funny.
That sugar molecule took the love languages.
Yeah, so when I took it, it was completely different and it made sense at the time. But I took it when a cool asked the first time, and I took it again. And I got it in the same exact answer in the same exact order. So, I mean, your
first one. What was
my first one? Is my primary is acts of service.
That was in 2016?
No, 2016, it was quality time, which I find very laughable now, because it's just so not that. But mine is acts of service for primary, and then my secondary is words of affirmation. Totally makes sense. It's just, I think I've noticed that the reason why it's changed to acts of service is because as I've gotten older, I've realized that it means so much to me when I'm stressed out or when I'm going through something and all of these things are happening, when someone just goes like, let me help you or something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Samantha, yours, because I know yours changed.
All right. I just feel like this whole thing is bullshit, to be honest. Not the whole thing is bullshit. I think that it does have value, but I don't think the value is just like, this is my love language and it's going to like stay like this my entire life. I think it's definitely shifting based on one, where you're at in life, but also the people that you're thinking about. Yeah. So
did you have somebody like literally in mind as you took it?
I kept thinking about different people for everything. And it was just like, I'm just picking this.
They did this to me.
Exactly. So,
shouldn't be thinking of a particular person. It should just, because the question really is, what is more meaningful for you?
Yes, but that is different for different people in my life.
Okay.
Like, one of them was like, and I thought this one was weird, because I guess I don't like really physically touch my family, but that doesn't mean that we're not close. We're extremely close. But like, it was like, is it more meaningful to me when someone I love puts their arm around me in public or someone I love surprises me with a gift? And like, it's not really going to mean shit if my dad puts his arm around me in public. I'm going to be like, why are you doing that? you never do that. Or if like my brother does it, I'm going to be like, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. So I would value a gift from them. But if it was like someone who I was like in a new romantic relationship with and they put their arm around me in public, I'd be like, okay, this nigga's playing with me in public, y'all. Okay. So it's more meaningful in two totally different situations. Mm-hmm. And then I applied that to a whole bunch of different people I was thinking of, because when I was just looking at it, I was like, some of them I was just like, neither of them is more meaningful to me. Like, it just produced no feeling in me at all. And then I was like, am I a robot? I had a lot of emotions taking this. I also took the wrong one at first, and I was really pissed off at Chapman because I thought he was forcing me into being married or a relationship, but I accidentally just didn't click single. Okay, so my results. When I took it, when you first told us, and I think I actually had taken it before that, I was words of affirmation. I don't remember what my second one was.
I can find it, but yeah.
And then when I took it, when I... when I did the relationship one by accident, I got quality time first and then acts of service second. And then when I did the actual single people's one, I got quality time first and words of affirmation second.
The quality time ass bitches.
Yeah, but like, and it also depends on how I'm feeling, right? So like when I had first taken this, I didn't really value quality time. But like now, like when Rodeca fucking bails on me, and we're supposed to go to New York Restaurant Week. I've just like how I told you in the car the other day, like, oh, I really want to like go out. Mm-hmm. It's just what I'm feeling right now in January of 2019, February, sorry. But 6 months later, if I'm like all pooped out and I don't want to see you niggas anymore, then it's going to change into affirmation.
Well, definitely. So mine was when I took it, and this was back when I first took it the first time, that was 2018 when I was forcing people to do it. Mine was acts of service. And then my second one was words of affirmation, which seemed very true for me. When I took it this time, still acts of service, because a bitch wants people to do things for her, regardless of who you are. But then my second one was quality time. And I ain't never been a quality time as bitch.
Me neither.
The ugliest face. Becca said quality time.
In the same way that Sam is saying, 2 years ago, quality time was my number one. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't like niggas. Like, I don't want to be around anybody. So that's why it's right. That's why it's not number one.
I mean, I'm not you,
nigga. I was like, just help me. Just help me, my nigga. That's what it is. So I get it. It's like, it's different.
So I know why it's changed, because lately a bitch has been feeling lonely and without people. So now I'm, of course, valuing quality time. I want to be with people. I want to have meaningful time with people, shared activities with people. So when I saw it, and then when Samantha had said hers had changed, I was like, we're onto something here.
Dun, dun,
we're
onto
something here. But I don't want to call it complete bullshit or hokum, because personalities also aren't static. So where you were 2 years ago, personality-wise, is going to change. And you can take a personality test and get different results depending on where you are in age, life, and things like that. Because these are subjective. So, of course, with different experiences and things like that, it's going to change. And when you had enough quality time 2 years ago, now you don't like niggas. Of course, you're going to rate quality time as less than, you know, you did before when you were full of quality time. Words of affirmation was big for me before. And it actually still tied very close with quality time, because the bitch likes to hear things
kind,
about herself.
You was smart. You was beautiful.
Thank you.
And you have a big booty too.
But my need to be with people currently outweighs hearing nice things about myself. A bitch needs company, you know, that's it.
I think it's useful to like, to use it every now and then to check in with yourself. Like, what do I desire right now? Because that kind of like put it back to me where I was like, oh, okay, that's why I want to go to New York. Just kidding.
You're not. Anyway, but I think another thing that I like about it is it at least puts, I guess at one point in time or a lot of the time in a relationship, I don't know, or like even in any type of relationship, not just sexual, but could be platonic as well. Sometimes I don't know how to put what I'm desiring into words. So I think in terms of just categories, it's very useful, because it's like, oh, these are things that I can say right now. I do want quality time. Sometimes I don't. As opposed to just like mystifying the whole thing and saying it's all trash. Like, for me, it kind of reminded me of like horoscopes. Like, I talk about them like, oh, you're a Gemini, da-da-da-da. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, when you read your horoscope for the day, it's gonna fit, because you're gonna make
you
it fit into
today. Fits. I read it my horoscope today fits. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, if you would have put the snap the Scorpio shit on the Capricorn shit, would I have said the same thing?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna totally do a study like that one day. Yeah. I'm just gonna fuck everybody's brain.
Mm. I mean, I'm not big enough to say that like maybe it does have like some type of profound effect, and also this could have like, we don't know everything, but at the same time, it's like, at least being able to read something and say, oh, this is something that I do think about, that I do value. And for me, my lowest one is always receiving gifts. And I know that that's true about me, because I don't care that much about gifts. It's always the last one.
That's a really good point. I've been on like, not a minimalist tip, but just like a clearing things out and like weaning off of fast fashion. Like, I just don't want stuff lately. And gifts, I think, got lower for me, because it's just shit that I don't want. also, my back has been hurting for a very long time because I need a new mattress. And the one that were, it was like, is it more meaningful to me when I'm able to just be around someone I love or to get a back rub from someone I love? I pick back rub. And I actually don't really like physical touch, but I needed to pick back rub in that instance.
Actually, physical touch actually rose for me too. Yeah. Which I think was the lowest one I had before because I didn't want niggas touching me. physical touch and receiving gifts were tied because I mean, it's nice. Thank you for thinking about me, but I don't need that shit.
Also, like what Rob said, where like, okay, you weren't getting gifts. I feel like niggas don't really give the best gifts. Like, I think family kind of gives better gifts.
On Valentine's Day, right, it's just 2 years ago, on Valentine's Day, I gave my ex like this pair of sneakers. I had the same pair of sneakers. He's like, oh my God, I've been one of them shits, da da da, some SBs from 06.
Yeah.
Fiending for them, went on the website, got them shits, mad bread. Hey, happy Valentine's Day. Matter of fact, I told him to lay down on the bed and close his eyes and I put them on his feet.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know what this nigga got me for Valentine's Day? Oh, a fake rose. And one big, huge heart-shaped Reese's. I threw it in the garbage. I couldn't eat that.
You know how many times I've said, like, I don't even like flowers? And I've gotten
I like flowers, though. I do like flowers, but yeah. I like real fucking flowers. Like, if you got to, I want the shits to die so I could toss them. But it's like, you know, it wasn't like the amount of money I paid because, you know, that wasn't the issue.
It's the thought and the effort. It was a very cute thing that you did.
And the thing is, he bought that shit right before he came to my fucking house and then left.
Of course
he did. Niggas are trash. So yeah, it was like, do I really want to receive gifts? Because it's like, if I receive a gift and it just pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah.
What's for what?
But conversely, like in your life, if you had ever had that one person who was always giving you really good gifts and you thought about that one person, then maybe your answer might have been different.
Yeah, it would have been different, but yeah. I just never.
Y'all need to buy Rob some gifts.
Also, nigga, I bought me gifts. Ooh. I love me.
Yes. Also, you made a good point in that it's not about the gift, but the thought and the effort behind the gift. And that's what that's the point of the love language. It's not about the gift because anybody give you a gift, but it's wanting meaningful.
Yeah, meaningful gifts.
And the fact that niggas have given you trash as gifts is like,
I did get one meaningful gift from an ex, and it was I told her that I gave my ex-boyfriend Going to Meet the Man by James Baldwin. I told him that he should totally read it. It's like my favorite fucking book on earth. I was like, if anything, just read the last fucking story. Mm-hmm. And still, I want to talk to you about it. He left it in the back of his car for the entire relationship. Never fucking read it. And we broke up. He kept it. And then the last time that they saw me, they gave me that book.
That's aww. Really, really sweet.
It was really sweet. Granted, I don't talk to him anymore, but yeah. It was like, it was such an important gift. That was probably the single most important thing I've ever received. Actually, and they also got me another gift. They got me a skateboard deck with my friend who passed away. It was just like his graffiti shit on the skateboard. I mentioned it. They traveled all the way to fucking Astoria.
Which is far, by the way.
Super far.
It really is.
And then got to my job in fucking Nolita in Soho, which is also super far.
Yes, it is.
And then I went to the back to go get my jacket and I came back and she left it on the counter. And I was like, and I just started fucking crying.
Yeah.
So granted, yes, if I put it like that, those were really sweet gifts.
Yes.
But it wasn't, I can't, like, they were, those gifts were important to me, but I can't say receiving them were important to me. Mm-hmm. I think that I would have been okay if I didn't get those gifts. But also, actually, I lied to y'all niggas. I was just talking shit. My shit definitely did change. But quality time is still the same. Physical touch went up, but I think it's because I was, like, in North Carolina for mad long.
Just now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this nigga's OD touchy and we just cuddled for like 4 days, cuddled and had wild sex. So
that sounds nice.
It was actually very refreshing. Yeah. It's like, I still don't want to be with you. But if I ever wanted to be with anybody on earth, they'd have to have very similar qualities. So I think that if I would have taken this prior to that, I may not have said the same thing.
Did you know the love languages of past partners? Because we're all single.
Yeah, but that's because when you sent it, I asked every nigga who I was with and had been with to take the test.
They align? Was there ever an instance where theirs aligned with yours?
With mine. Mm-hmm. Was anybody else? At the time I was, what, words of affirmation? Was anybody else words of affirmation? No. No, nobody aligned at all. But I did guess some of the people, mm-hmm. and I was correct on some of the instances. Yeah.
My ex before, well, one of my exes, his was quality time at a time when it wasn't quality time for me. And it made a lot of sense because quality time from the questions, at least, is just kind of like, oh, let's just be around each other. That means you love me. And for me, like, acts of service is kind of like the opposite because it's actually actively doing something. So it was kind of like, it made a lot of sense. It was like, that's why we're having this issue right now. Personally, I know I was about to like rant, but I was going to say like, yo, if y'all fucking love language is acts of service, I would love to be in a relationship or anything with someone who just like, we're just competing on helping each other the most. I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm too lazy for that shit.
Let's miserable. Do it. Yeah, we have to. Like, I'm gonna run over here for you. Oh, you gonna run over? I need that. So I don't know who this it is. Crazy.
I think me and Sam are looking the same way. Like, y'all niggas wanna kill yourselves.
And words of affirmation. It's just love. Like, it's just, I'm gonna do this for you, and I'm gonna tell you how much I love you at the same time. I don't know who the fuck that is.
I'm gonna tell you you're a bad bitch every day that you wake up.
I like that one.
You could have snorted. You're a bad bitch.
Yeah, I really like
that
one.
Drool on your face. You're a bad bitch.
Yeah.
But then I personally probably start getting annoyed with that too. Only because I'm the type of nigga, when you give me a compliment, I'd be like, it has to be like a powerful compliment because literally just say, I know. Like, you're beautiful. Absolutely. I look at myself every fucking day. I know I'm beautiful, but thank you. But it's like, well, nah, you're so fucking intelligent in that dissertation that you
wrote. Yeah, you have to be commenting on what I'm doing at the current moment, which is a lot of things. I think that when I was thinking about this, there was somebody who I used to date who would like affirm me a lot, but we would never go out. He would never buy me any fucking gifts. And then what was the last thing he never did? What is the other shit?
Acts of service.
He wouldn't touch me in public. Like,
yeah,
he would, but like not in like, I don't know. I just wanted more and mm-hmm. I wasn't getting any of that shit. And I was just kind of like annoyed with the words of affirmation after a certain point because it rang false.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was false, but he was just like lazy.
Roro, you've talked about the dissatisfaction in your relationship because your love languages didn't align. Can anyone else speak to that?
I know.
Oh, well, first off, Rob, did yours align with anyone?
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I would never ask anybody that I've to do anything. I wouldn't even want to entertain that the idea that I'm thinking of you in a way that I want to be compatible with you.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
I love that energy. Because I don't, that's just how I feel right now as far as like dating. Like,
okay.
I'm not dating. That's it.
That plays
just
large
gave the whole thing it. Up. We're just not dating. So I don't want niggas to think that I am dating. Mm. But I know that, well, clearly the shits haven't aligned because all my relationships have ended in fiery flames. But yeah, I don't think that I've ever had love languages aligned with anybody besides maybe this last guy in North Carolina, but only to a certain extent, just the physical touch and the quality time. But my idea of quality time isn't like just literally being around you because I don't know. I like to do stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't do a lot of stuff. We just laid around and slept and ate a lot, which was fun. But I'm like, I could not do this continuously. Like, I couldn't see that being something I'd want to do for an extended period of time. With my last ex-boyfriend. Yeah, no. Mine's was like, with the quality time, he literally told me like, yeah, I just forget about you. Cause I was like, why don't like you do this shit with your boys and da da da, and like the only way we do anything is if we do something like a concert. It has to be something concert, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but other than that, you don't ever invite me anywhere. And he's like, yo, to be honest, I just forget about you. And I was like, oh, so nigga, bye. Well, I didn't say bye, clearly, duh. But that was just a real big difference. And we were completely not compatible. And I know quality time was so important for me. So it's like, if couldn't do that bare minimum, then it's like I wasn't the one for him. I realized that early on. Like, I'm not for you. Let's keep trying anyway. It was stupid, but we did it. Yeah, whatever. I'm still cute and single, but don't try to bag me, but try to fuck me. That's fine.
I was just gonna say I had a story similar to that in terms of like niggas just like disappearing and being like, oh, I don't think about you, because I had to fight some nigga once, my ex, because like this nigga disappeared for a whole month because he was just like, yeah,
wait, what?
So like we were like deep in the relationship, and I guess like things were really intense, so we were supposed to like pseudo not move in together but spend a lot of time, because the person that I was living with at the time was going away, so it was like, oh great, we have a free crib for a whole month, this is lit. And then like the month started and I cooked dinner, and then he never showed up. Oh, and then he never showed up for weeks.
Oh shit.
I like called him, and then like I called him, and the one of the times that he did answer, he was like, to be honest with you, it's just nice like not to have to think about another person and stuff. And I was like, okay, we've been together for 3 years, but that's fine. So then I pulled up to this party. This is when I was like living on campus or whatever. I pulled up to the party, it was like a dope party, and then I see this nigga in the corner like dancing.
I can see why. And I was like,
I pulled up and I was like, what's up? I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like dancing next to him or whatever. But then this nigga looked at me and then turned his head back and was and kept dancing. I walked away and I was like, yo, somebody needs to stop me right now, son. And then I was so tight. Now, again, I'm not condoning this. I was younger or whatever. So I pulled up and I was like, you see me now, nigga? You see me now? Yes. And I pushed him. I was like, and I kept repeating. I was like, do you see me now? And then I started crying because I was like, yo, do you see me now, nigga?
See me.
Do you see me? Yeah, nah. Like, people had to break us up because I was like, nah, now you're fucking, now you think I'm pussy, bro. We def like had a long conversation about it, and he kind of like was admitting that like he was really scared because we were talking about marriage and we were like all that type of stuff. So he kind of like ran away from it. We were really young, but I was like, my nigga, I'm scared too. Like, we could have had this conversation, blah, blah, blah. Or like, we don't have to rush into anything. Like, it doesn't have to be that.
Love my shit.
Nah.
OD.
OD. OD.
It's crazy. Like, OD. Ghosting is like one thing. Like, you know, y'all in person. Fucking,
but
like,
my nigga looked at me in the eye and said, oh, were you here too?
And then just kept dancing some. And then you ghosted me in real.
Yeah.
Nigga, the fuck? But do you think, though, like, seriously, that... Because I've seen this one tweet, like, oh, yeah, y'all relationships don't be working out because y'all don't know each other's love languages. But then there's, like, so many, like, other ways to be in a successful relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, some things are, like, implied.
Yeah.
You don't need to read and do a quiz about it in order to understand. I think that is a very modern way to judge things. And also, as we said, there's no like empirical evidence that this is like a real thing. But do you think that ultimately, granted, we're all like single and there's a good chance that at least I'm going to be single forever. But do you think that if you do end up with a person or a main person for the rest of your life, that they will have the same love language as you, or will it be different? But will you compromise your not your core self, but like if you know that this person is like this and you're not really like that, would you go the extra mile in order to?
On the front of compromising, I don't even think it's like, and I don't know if Chapman has discussed this or anything like that, but does the love language that you like to receive have to be the one that you're good at giving or like to give?
I'm sorry. The one that...
Your love language, mm-hmm. the type of love that you like to receive, does that have to be the exact same thing that you give or are it, good at giving
it
or like to give?
It typically is, because
I don't find that that's true at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mind any of these and giving mm-hmm. these to any of, like, if my partner desires any of this aside from like physical touch when I don't want to touch you or whatever, or if like I'm asleep and I don't want to go out and I'm tired because I'm like actually achy, I don't mind giving the person who I love any of this because I love them. I want to make them feel nice.
I love giving gifts, but I really don't care to receive them.
Yeah, that seems like, it seems like kind of if it is one-on-one, that seems like a devolved and myopic view of love. Like, I like to be loved like this, so this is what love means. And I think if you're on that, I mean, this can help you, but you should also, like, just talk to your partner general?
So,
like, just speak.
Yeah. I don't think that the person you're going to end up with would have the same love language as you. That's just probability wise. Even as we speak now, it just hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And as much
and
as
then if it's changing over time,
yeah, then there's no way
shifting, yeah.
to see that happening or to be probable. But and this goes back to the study that proved that the part of this that actually works, because just knowing your partner's love language doesn't mean shit. The part that works is when you change your behaviors to show your partner love or affection in some way, or some way that they have expressed means something to them. Whether they take it and say, I'm words of affirmation, and now you are, you know, giving heartfelt compliments and, you know, affirming them and their relationship, their role in the relationship and their role in your life and things like that. So what really matters, if you are in a relationship with someone whose love language is different than yours, going that extra mile to show them love in whatever way it is. People, again, we have primary, according to Chapman, we have primary or secondary, but in every relationship, we see all of these love languages, whether it's giving gifts and not getting them, touching someone, not wanting to be touched, you know, whatever. I was in a relationship where my partner always wanted to be touched and I didn't want him to touch me, but I still touched him in other intimate ways, you know? And actually, I was thinking about it because physical touch was very low for me, but I'm always touching people out. Like, I am always like a pat or like a chin hold or a rub or a hug. I'm always touching niggas. But
and
I don't
I'm
want
like,
you to.
Don't touch
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't want you to touch me. go ahead.
But I also think, I don't know, I think a lot of the times we are not obviously perfect, but at the same time, I think that we're at a slight advantage because we all understand that communication is important. And I think that we all
kind of, in this room.
Yes, okay. In this room. Us, the host. But Noice. Also, I know it's sometimes it's unfathomable, but I think that the value in this is kind of having a starting point in terms of just like what I don't even understand why this person feels this way or like they want something that I've never even heard of. Like, why do you want me to give you gifts so much? And then it's like you can look at it and be like, OK, it doesn't make any sense, but at least it's framing something that could help you understand somebody better. Because, yes, you should be talking to your partners. Yes, you should be having these conversations. This is what I like. This is it doesn't have to be a formal thing. It could even be a text like, hey, if you wanted to feel special some way, like what? Yeah, you should be doing those things. Right. But there are a lot of people who are in relationships that are not doing any form of this. Yeah, true.
Why did a cool raise her hand?
But yeah.
I thought y'all was getting married.
I rose my hand because and this is why I kind of went on this crusade, because I realized that I was loving people from my love language. Like when I want to show someone that I care, when someone's having a hard time or expensing something to me, my first thought is, what can I do for them? And I started finding myself, I was in a lot of relationships with some quality time ass people, romantic and friendships that were going bad because I didn't value quality time the way they did. Yes, we can talk on the phone for hours and I'm good with it. Yes, we can spend all day with each other, not doing anything or doing something and I'm good with it. But that didn't mean anything to me, you know? So here I am when we're at this fault in this relationship and they're basically like, oh, you know, you're not a good friend or you're not a good partner. And I'm like, I did this for you and I did that for you and I did that for you. And I didn't. They're like, that shit don't mean shit to me. And I'm like, but me going the extra mile, me being up at 11 a.m., me picking you up from the airport, me being fatigued and still burping your baby, all of that was my love. How don't you see that? You know? So that's why I was kind of like, I then, you know, if that means nothing to you, I have to show you love and care in the way that it means something to you. Because or else we'll be at an impasse. We'll always be at an impasse. Nobody will be satisfied because here I am literally giving you my heart, soul and bones in the things that I do. And it means, yes, you appreciate it. Yes, you acknowledge that I've done these things, but it didn't speak love or care for you in the way that I emphasized it or that it, you know, because if someone did all those things for me, I'd be like, nigga, we get married, I'm having your babies. Like, I'd be good. I'd be set. But for them, it didn't mean much.
That was a profound life conclusion that you came to, Akua.
It was.
I'm proud of you because I remember the instances where you were talking about things like this.
And now I'm just trying to, I'm actually very surprised that I'm surrounded by a lot of quality time ass people because that was like.
What?
I said, y'all niggas is weird, but I'm just kidding. I understand, and I used to be the type of nigga where, like, we could just sit on the couch for days and, like, just because you're here, but now it's like, please, can we go out? Can we, like, do things? But that's also quality time.
Yeah, that was when I had the quality time thing and I was thinking about it, that's what I was thinking of, like, going out. But when I was thinking of, like, one particular nigga who just, like, always smokes weed and, like, wants to hang out, I'm like, I don't want that type of quality time, though.
Well, Chapman also, quality time.
Chapman was talking about weed.
Those are reflected in the questions. It is shared activity. So doing something is also quality time, not just sitting or being around each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, want to close this out?
Thank you.
I don't know what you want.
Well, thank you for leading this discussion. I like this. Yeah.
And I was going to say, everybody listening, take the quiz for fun, or just because if you really want to, you know, strengthen your relationships with people and, like, share it, because I want to know what other people's stuff are.
Ooh,
and
how
popular certain things are.
Hashtag inner ho uprising with your love language. Yeah.
And also pay us, doctor, because I know you make money, so we just advertise for you for absolutely no reason other than our own pleasure. So
Chapman.
Bring that. And also, like, if you feel like this shit is, like, low-key confirmation bias up in this bitch, I want to hear your alternate ideas, because some people feel so strongly about love languages, and I'm like, this is, I get it and I don't get it, like, relax, this isn't the make or break of my relationship. I'm single for many reasons. Only a piece of them is love languages. So I don't, you know, if you have some other empirical research, because I'm about to conduct some empirical research with y'all niggas, hit me up if you want to be in my study.
That's kind of, it sounds like a funny pickup line. I'm about to conduct some empirical research with that ass.
Wow. Might put that in my Tinder profile. I'll let you know how that works.
If you would like to follow us on social media, because we're done now, by the way. You can do so at Interho Uprising without the G on Twitter, and Inner Hole Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. And you can also go to innerholeuprising.com to pay a hoe or check out the merch, buy it, love it. You can also subscribe to our Patreon. You know, you heard about it. If you'd like to follow me specifically, my name is Rebecca. You can follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram, because it truly is.
You know, now I think it's just the weirdest timeline.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Maybe I'll just change it to the darkest, weirdest timeline. I just keep changing it as things happen.
The timeline. The most constructive timeline.
Well, you guys can follow me, Aku, at Hey Akua Girl. That's HEYYAKUAGIRL on Instagram and Twitter.
Hey. Cool girl. I love doing that. I do that when I see you online, like, once every year and a half. I'm like, hey. Cool, don't go online. And you also can't reply to a cool stories, which I think is super fucking
cool. That really actually gets on my nerves. I'm just trying to compliment you.
We're gonna update that.
I can turn that on.
Yes.
The fact that you did turn it off.
I can turn it off. And you cool,
it's
on.
It's auto on.
It should have been like automatic.
I'd be like, I just want to say LOL. I gotta take a screenshot, send it. I gotta send the whole story to her.
Sometimes I just want to be like, you look good, bitch.
But I can't.
Anyway, I didn't figure out how to figure it out.
If you want to follow me, Rob the God, I am PanAfrican.BootyScratcher on Instagram.
I thought you were going to change it.
But nobody hit me up, because niggas clearly don't listen to the fucking podcast.
Maybe they don't.
The very end.
Maybe they don't know what to do next, because it actually is the best one.
Well, I might be the most constructive timeline. I might be PAC. But my Artstagram is fanta.black. Be on the lookout very soon for some art shit. And my Twitter, which I'm active on. I'm the only one who's active on Twitter. And I'm Rob_God. Please do not send me nudes right now. I don't want to see them. Thank you.
The nude calling is closed. It's shut down for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
I'm SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. And Carmen Sam Diego on Instagram if you want to see travel and food photos. Goodbye.
Bye.